Is in Jeremiah chapter 18, and let's start at verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my words to you." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it. If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I plan to bring on it. Or at another moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build up or to plant it. If it does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will think better of the good with which I had promised to bless it. So now then, speak to the men of Judah and against the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am fashioning calamity against you and devising a plan against you. Oh, turn back, each of you, from his evil way, and reform your ways and your deeds. But they will say, It's hopeless, for we are going to follow our own path, our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Ask now among the nations, whoever heard the like of this? The Virgin of Israel has done a most appalling thing. Does the snow of Lebanon forsake the rock of the open country? Or is the cold flowing water from a foreign land ever snatched away? For my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not on a highway. To make their land a desolation, an object of perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. Like an east wind, I will scatter them before the enemy. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their calamity." Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this blessed Sabbath. We thank you for each one that has attended this service. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that they had done to make their plans to be here. Any sacrifices, Lord, we know you recognize. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless the words that we speak and the thoughts that we will express and help them to help each one of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask. Amen. My text is the verse 4 of the scripture reading, and it reads, "But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make." My message to you today is the potter and the clay. We find in the book of Jeremiah, and in chapter 18, that God spoke to Jeremiah about the conditions of his day, about the nation Israel, about its people, and God was not at all pleased. The people had disobeyed God's commands. They had drifted away from God. They did a lot of things that put them at odds with God and separated them from God. And God revealed this to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was the vessel that God chose to use at that particular point to relay His word, to try to bring the nation of Israel and the people of Israel to bring them to their senses about what was going on in the land at that time. And God, as part of this revelation to Jeremiah, told Jeremiah to visit a pottery. And God reveals to Jeremiah that just as the potter is in control of the clay to make the vessel that he is working on, so God is in control of all the events and the people of Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah had already pleaded and preached to the people and the nation, but it was to no avail. Every issue that God wanted him to bring and confront the people with, he brought to the people, but it did no good. They did not heed the words of God through Jeremiah. They wouldn't listen to his warnings against sin in general, against idolatry, in which the nation of Israel and Judah was caught up in at that particular point in time, against things that are prevalent in our day and time. And it could be said that general sin, general idolatry is going on also. But certainly materialism, sensual pleasure, and pleasure seeking, they were dealing with each other unjustly. That was part of the problem. They were dealing with each other dishonestly. And they were generally corrupt. God had enough. And he tried to speak to Jeremiah, through Jeremiah to the people, to get them to realize what they were doing as a nation and as a people and as individuals. In essence, they turned themselves off to God. You know, that's a dangerous thing to do, is come to the point in time that you just say, I'm not going to listen to it anymore. I'm not going to take heed to it. I'm just going to do my own thing and go my own way and do what's right to me. That is dangerous. They turn themselves off to the Word of God through Jeremiah. And they lived as though there would be no response from God. No consequences for their behavior. As in the past, and as always, God offers to His people, to the ones that are called by His name, He offers blessings and curses. And He leaves the choice to us. But all through the Word of God, God says, obey me, keep my word, keep my statutes, and you will be blessed above all people on the earth.
you will have success and not failure. And he says, just look to me for your help. Obey me. And these things will be yours. But you know what? The nation of Israel could not do that for any particular length of time. It was evidently too far beyond them and their natural abilities. Let's look at verse 6 to get an insight into this particular chapter and specifically about the potter and the clay as revealed to Jeremiah by visiting the pottery. The Lord says, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does? Declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Obviously, from these words we see that God is the potter. And we are the clay. We are His children. We are as the house of Israel in this particular chapter. God is working with each one of us personally. God, we are as the clay in God's hands. He's trying to mold us and fashion us into that which He would have us to be to accomplish His work. And these scriptures lets us know what will happen if we, like the people of Jeremiah's day, if we don't allow God to work with us, or if perhaps we resist God's working with us. Let's see what this verse 4 lets us know. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. You know, if we as the clay in the potter's hand, we still have the decision within our power to go along with God's working with us. Or we have the ability and the decision-making power to say, no, I'm not wanting to go in that direction. I'm going to resist this. That's what this means in the clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. The potter had a plan for the clay. The potter has a plan for you and I. But not only is it involved the plan of the potter, but it involves whether or not the clay or we will allow God to do what He has in mind for us, to work us into the vessel that He would have us to be. And we can, as the people and the nation of Jeremiah's day, we can resist that work that God has planned. Let's go to verse 7. And we're going to read verse 7 through 10. At one moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it. Let's say one thing. If we resist what God has in mind for us, if we resist the potter and his plan, then that verse 4 lets us know He'll just take the clay, which is us, and He will just crush the clay and start all over again. Make another vessel. Because the vessel that he had in mind at first was spoiled. It was had a defect in it. Perhaps you could just imagine a little pebble or a stone in the clay. However, and it would not allow the potter to form it and shape it into what he had planned. So, he removes the defect. He starts with the clay again. So God's plan, regardless of whether we go along with His plan, whether He allows us to work with us, whether we become pliable in His hands, regardless of that, His plan and His work will go forward. And we might just well to say, with or without us, His plan is going to be accomplished. Does God work within the nations of the world to shape and fashion them however fits within His plan? Will God do that? Will God set up a nation, tear down a nation? Will He even plan His work with a nation and it be for their good and the good of all people, and then because of their response to His working with them, if it's negative, if it's not what He sees would be right, then will He change His mind? Once He decides what His plan is going to be, and he sets up a nation for good, will He then change His mind? The answer is yes. If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent. He will change His mind. If they will come to their senses and turn from its evil, I will change my mind and not carry through the calamity that I plan to bring on it. Or at another moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build up or to plant it, to do good with the nation. But if it does evil in my sight, this nation that He had planned to build up, plant, and bless, if it does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will think better. In other words, He will change His mind about the good with which I had promised to bless it because they did not carry through their end of it. If it does evil in my sight, then He will think better of the situation. Even though Jeremiah realized that his nation, this is before what is known as a captivity, the captivity of Israel. When they were taken to Babylon, is right after King David and Solomon and all of the glorious splendor of that era, which is probably the greatest splendor that Israel had ever known throughout all the years. Then very shortly after Solomon died, then you come into this period in which we're talking about with Jeremiah. And God trying to get people who turns away from Him to serving other gods, trying to get them to come to their senses and repent and turn back to Him. But we read that they would not. And so we see that Jeremiah realized from God that the nation of Israel was going to fall. It was going to go into captivity, and it did about 600 years before Jesus. Jeremiah realized the nation was going to fall. The people was going to be taken captive. But you know, some people might deduct from that, well, God failed. His plan didn't work. Well, what the truth of it is that the clay was not pliable. The people and the nation did not maintain their closeness to God. And so they had to suffer the consequences. But that does that mean that God then would forsake Israel? And the purpose and plan that he had for the nation of Israel, which was really to be kings and priests for him throughout the whole world and let the rest of the world see God's power and his plan for Israel and his plan for all mankind. God was wanting to use Israel for that and still does. And even though Israel resisted this, and even though the nation would fall and would be taken away captive into Babylon, that mean God forsook them? No, his plan was still there. He would continue his plan. And when you read the whole book of the Bible, you realize that God doesn't give up easy. And he doesn't give up at all once his plan is set on the things of righteousness and his ultimate goal. So no, he did not turn loose of Israel just because they failed at this particular point. But he would continue his work with Israel. And the purpose that he had for Israel within the world realm. You know, when we think about the failures of Israel, and it was failures all through the recorded history of Israel, all through the Word of God, we see how they were constantly disobeying, constantly getting off track, constantly being chastised for this. But in our own lives and on a personal basis, trouble often falls on each one of us. And we become distressed. And we become depressed. Perplexed. We become discouraged at what life brings to us. And at such times, we need to take from this chapter in Jeremiah, we need to be able to visualize God as the potter and that he's at the wheel and that we are the clay in which he is working with. And we need to realize that we don't need to resist his work in our life. We need to realize that we need to get out of ourselves, allow him to change us and work with us. Alter our personalities and our ways if necessary to be within his plan, to be pliable and workable as the clay in his hands. Paul had this same truth in mind in Romans 8, 28. Let's go to there. Romans 8, 28, and see what the Apostle Paul said here. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We can get a lot of truth right in there. All things work together. If you're a child of God, if you allow yourself to be pliable and workable as the clay in God's hands. If you are one of those who love God, there are conditions to this. First of all, are you a child of God? To those who love God, do you love God? Has God called you? as one of his children? Have you responded? Are you his child? Then all things will work together for your good according to his purpose. Not necessarily according to what you want. You're, after all, you're the clay. He's the potter, not you. He's working with you, not you with him, even though you are. But it's his plan that is ultimately going to be carried forth. Let's go to verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's go to the verse 37. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. If we can remain workable to God, we might even say reasonable. If we will be what God called us to be, stay within His plan, then even though we might fail, even though things might come in our life in which we stumble, is all hope lost? Let's go back to Jeremiah 18. And let's read that verse 12 in closing. Now the people of Jeremiah's day and the ones that Jeremiah was speaking with, and we could call these people, you know, clay too. They're part of the house of Israel. And verse 12 says, but they will say, meaning the people of the house of Israel that Jeremiah was trying to reach, but they will say, it's hopeless. Now, why is it hopeless? It's never hopeless. It's never hopeless as long as we remain workable and pliable as that kind of clay that the potter can make into the vessel that he would have us to be. It's not hopeless. But if we say, as they said, for we are going to follow our own plans. They're taking over the potter's job. The potter has in mind what to do with the clay. We are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his own evil heart. Do you see? It does become hopeless. They will say it's hopeless. It is hopeless when you have the attitude of resisting God. When you go so far as to say, I don't want His plan. I want my plan. I want what I want. I want to live the way I want to live. I want to do my own thing. Well, if you're going to do that, you're not going to be doing God's thing. You're going to be resisting God. It will only be hopeless as we make the decisions to make it hopeless. We need to be and always stay workable and pliable in the potter's hands. Stand with me in prayer.